السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Ulama Profile with myself, Ubaydullah Boja. And you with me, inshallah, from now till just before the 10 o'clock news. It is today the 22nd of March, and inshallah ta'ala, we spend the better part of the hour together, inshallah. Today we speak about, and we profile, and we discuss the life of one of the great stalwarts of the Benoni, the Eastern area. One of those people that was very influential with the Benoni Muslim Jamaat, and that is obviously Imran Muhammad Hashim Saab, rahmatullahi alayh. I have a lot to share, and I suppose the listeners have as well. Before we start the program, we would like to introduce our guest, Maulana Hassan Yusuf. Yusuf, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana.
Jazakallah for taking out your time this evening and speaking about your honorable father.
Jazakallah to you, Maulana, for reviving his legacy. Allah reward you
Ameen.
In the community as well.
Respected listeners, what we're going to do, it's an open line. If you want to give us a call, Maulana taught you, he interacted with you, you heard his lectures in Germiston, you're most welcome to give us a call. The number is 011-854-1548. Brother Usama is waiting for your call. Alternatively, the better option, if you could, send me a text message and I would read that message out, inshallah. The number is 071-878-9748, and inshallah ta'ala, I would like to read your message out on air. To begin today's program, before we go into anything else, I'm just going to take out 2 minutes of your time. I'm going to tell you, let us listen to this clip of Maulana that is giving a lecture, and when we listen to him, we'll understand the personality he was, and thereafter we'll get into the program. Brother Usama, if you could play for us the first clip, inshallah. Brother Usama was just there for the first clip. This is a lecture that Maulana had delivered, and it was on the Radio Islam archive, so we'll play it, inshallah, for the listeners of Radio Islam International. And thereafter, inshallah, we'll begin with Brother Yusuf, who will be giving us some insight about his honorable father.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'gfiruhu. ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض حونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير وتعز من تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير صدق الله العلي العظيم. حضرات علماء الكرام, my respected brothers, my elders, Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we praise Him for? Why do we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why must we make an effort to praise Him? Why must we make shukr? Man lam yashkur innas lam yashkur illah, aw kama qala alayhimus salatu wassalam. Muhammad al-Arabi alayhi salatu wassalam says, if you cannot be thankful to man, you cannot be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yusuf, that was your father, Maulana Muhammad Hashim, who obviously was a great orator, an orator of note, and we'll come to it inshallah. But just as introduction, obviously that voice and that bringing back a lot of memories, Brother Yusuf.
A lot of memories, Maulana. Alhamdulillah, to hear his voice again. And we've got a few clips of his, few of his lectures, but to hear his voice and the way he starts his lectures brought back a lot of memories.
Brother Yusuf, tell me in terms of an introduction, your father, Maulana Muhammad, a little bit of family background for us, please.
So Maulana, my father, when he passed away, he was 68 years old, so he was born in 1943, right? So he was one of five siblings, right? He had three sisters and two brothers, and the brother passed away at a very young age, when Maulana was still young, so... For majority of his life, it was just him and his three sisters and his parents. And then Maulana got, after he came back from India, he got married to my mother, Farida, and he had two children with her, myself and my sister, Sajira. And so my mother, Farida, passed away in 1978. So they were married just for a short period of time. And subsequent to that, Maulana remarried. He married Hawabiri, and he had one child with Hawabiri, Zakia, alhamdulillah. And for the duration of his life, Maulana lived in Bedford, I think, just a part of the last 10 years of his life when he moved to Rainsford in Binoni. And he gave his life to the community in Binoni, effectively. So he ended up living in Binoni, where he spent did most of his work, and alhamdulillah, Allah made it such that he passed away in Binoni, where he spent his last few years of his life. And towards the end, he battled with cancer, initially cancer of the throat, but alhamdulillah, he recovered from that. And then towards the end, he had prostate cancer, and that's towards the end, that's how he passed away.
Obviously, you mentioned in your introduction that he grew up in Bedford View. Was that where obviously the bulk of the schooling in that was?
The schooling initially Bedford View, as you know, was predominantly a white area at that particular point in time. So the schooling took place in Germiston, the old Germiston location, as they called it in those days. So Maulana spent his schooling life before he moved to India. So that was up until he moved to India. He went to India to study in 1959, and he studied in India from 1959. He studied there for a period of 10 years at Madrasatul Ulama and under the tutelage of Maulana Abul Hasan al-Nadwi. And he returned back from India in 1969. And then started teaching initially in Germiston, if I'm not mistaken, and then moved later on to Binoni. And when he moved to Binoni, which was probably 1969-1970, at that point in time, there were two Islamic associations in Binoni. He joined the Actonville Islamic Institute, and then the other institute obviously was the Binoni Muslim Jamaat. And in 1970, with Dr. Ibrahim, the two organizations merged, and my father played a critical role in providing advice and guidance, obviously to try and merge it and bring one Islamic institute in Binoni. And subsequent to that, they joined the Binoni Muslim Jamaat, and the Ex-Limbo Islamic Institute in West Bend, and there was one Islamic banner in Benoni, and that was the Benoni Muslim Jamaat Institute as well.
Would you know a bit of your father's study days or something that he would articulate to you all as a family, or was it something you don't know that much about?
No, I spoke, obviously, Maulana Abul Hassan Nazvi played a key role in his life. He took bath with Maulana as well. And it's not like today, you know, you could come back, you could fly back to South Africa every couple of years or probably on holidays. Those days it was all by ship, so he spent most of his holidays either at the Institute, where Maulana was, and he learned a lot during that time with Maulana. He spent a lot of time with Maulana as well in the Institute. There were a few South Africans also in the Institute at that particular point in time, and not a whole lot, but I know Maulana played a significant role in terms of his learning and his education and general just spending time with Maulana and getting to know his habits and serving Maulana to a great deal as well. So those he did speak about, and when Maulana passed away, which is probably about 20 years ago, I still remember that because it was a Jumma and he was actually going to give a talk at the Housing Islamic Association on that particular day, and I traveled with him to Jumma, and when he got the news, which was just before Jumma, he couldn't give the talk. He was distraught at hearing the news that Maulana had passed away.
Gee, Maulana was very close. I remember a particular time, and when we were sitting at some function or at a program, and he was talking to some of his friends, and then he was telling them, he started authored a book, Karwane Zindagi, whereby he would then speak about his life, and he would speak about, obviously, some of the experiences and that he had. And in that, he was telling his colleagues, and obviously they were much elder than us, they were the ulama and the akabir of the time, that even at that time, in that age, Maulana was reading about the elders, and he was reading about his ustad and the life, and I think at that time, the new print had just come out, and they were already discussing it and speaking about it. So naturally, they had that great inclination towards the asatida. Maulana studied in Nadwatul Ulama, Lucknow, something he spoke about very, very greatly. In one of the bayans, Maulana was the MC in Azadwal, when they had the program about Darul Uloom Deoband, and Maulana was then introducing Maulana Muhammad Bamji, and in that he speaks about Nadwatul Ulama, Darul Uloom Deoband, and just the way he articulated himself obviously makes for a fantastic lesson. Yusuf, coming back to you, once your father had returned, obviously from Nadwatul Ulama, and then being involved in, at that time, obviously known as the External Islamic Institute, he served the community for a better part of about 30 years, perhaps?
Yeah, Maulana, he initially, you know, between the years 1970 and 1980, he was a teacher in the BMJ.
Okay.
And then at that stage, the late Dr. Mia was the chairman of the BMJ, and in 1980, Dr. Mia passed away, at which point in time my father then was nominated or elected as the chairman of the BMJ, and he did that role for a good 25 years. I think he eventually relinquished that role in 2005 when he started becoming sick and felt he couldn't give the full attention at that particular point in time. He stepped down. I'm not sure if he stepped down or was not re-elected, but up until 2005, he served the community for a period as a chairman for a period of 25 years, and in total capacity for a period of 35 years. And you know, it was for BMJ during that period, it was sort of a golden era. You know, there were a number of senior people on the board. You know, to mention one or two of them is doing an injustice to the rest of the board.
Sure.
But it's a period where, in that time, they built the madrasa that as it currently stands today next to Masjid An-Nur. That was undertaken by them. They started it in about 1980 and was completed in 1984. And then, you know, we give the Jamaat some status in terms of financial soundness. They escalated its stature, and they provided a sound footing for the community going forward in terms of a place for studying for our young children. Today, the Madrasa serves, I think, close to 1,500 children. And alhamdulillah, you know, it's the work of that committee that we see the fruit of its circle today.
No, definitely so, and I must say I'm a product of that institute as well, and I vividly remember those days whereby when we would go to the madrasa, and we've seen the madrasa grow. Obviously, in the 90s we were at the Madrasa Islamia Binoni as it is currently known. One of the aspects I wanted to discuss with you regarding your father's service to the community is, apart from serving the BMJ as the chairman or the Amir for about 20 years odd, or 25 years old at least, one of the aspects that was a standout for me was his oratory skills. If there's one thing that you could speak about Maulana Muhammad Hashim, was his charismatic way he would deliver a lecture. He wouldn't just address something or use words that were normally used by people that spoke English, but one of the aspects about the life of Maulana Muhammad was his charismatic way that he would give a lecture. And when you would listen to him, he would always have a very articulate way of putting it. Perhaps you want to share some insight with regards to that, Yusuf?
Maulana, my father was an avid reader. He read everything. He read everything across the spectrum. So, and from there he developed his continuously read, you develop your vocabulary. And,
yes.
And Maulana read a considerable amount of books. He had a collection of National Geographic that I still have some of them today. But he made sure the one thing he did is he read. And the way, you know, the way you deliver a lecture is how you captivate an audience at the end of the day. And he had that knack. You know, you could put it with the people from all facets of life. Be it school children or be it professionals, whatever profession people were, you could still have the discussion with them. And it goes to being able to relate to people, but also if you read and you keep in touch with different items, you can have this conversation and you can have that knowledge of trying to bring it across to different people. And Maulana had a great passion for reading, and trying to continuously educate himself. You mentioned when a new book came out from Maulana Abu Hassan Nadi, Maulana was that, you know, he'd step into a bookshop, he'd look for something, he'd saw it, he'd buy it, and he'd read the book, and passages of those books he'd give it into lectures as the weeks would pass by, he'd narrate it to people in the masjid, and that's how he developed his oratory skills and his speaking skills as well.
No, definitely so. And I remember I would give the Juma lecture at the Germiston Masjid for many a years. I would go there on the roster, and I would always go to him, and he would always speak highly. Obviously, that was more his good character than anything with regards to the lecture. But sometimes he would say, Maulana, you use this word, perhaps if you would use that word, it might give across. And he would always be that kind of a person who would always advise you and would always want to see you do better in things. And that was his inspiration. So I suppose these are some of the aspects that we're discussing about the life of Maulana Muhammad Hashim, of what we know at Bedford View. And his son, Brother Yusuf, is giving us some of the lessons that are there. His daughter Zakia Rais,
said,
our memories are too many to put down. My most treasured memory is that my father used to call me by my name. Being the youngest, he had a nickname for me, meaning a little one or a small one, which somehow stuck right till the end of his life, by which time I had my own children already. 6 years later, and I can still hear his voice, smell his attar, see his smile, and picture him in his white long kurta. He touched many lives, helped many people, and left a lasting impression on most who met him. I am grateful for the opportunities he allowed me while growing up. His legacy as a teacher is one that I can only hope to aspire. I'll end with the following quote. Those we love don't go away. They walk beside us every day. Unseen and unheard, but always near. Still loved and greatly missed. That from his daughter Zakia, obviously ends with a dua from her father. Brother Yusuf, from your side, inshallah, with regards to some of the other aspects and services that he served the community that perhaps we are not aware of, you want to shed some light on that for us?
No, Mulana, my father, like I said, for 20 years was a teacher in the madrasa, which meant that he traveled from Bedfordview to Benoni every afternoon. So when the madrasa starts, he'd be there at 2 o'clock, and when the madrasa ended at 5, he'd take us back home as well. And he did that for a considerable number of years. And over and above that, you also have to bear in mind that there were Jamaat meetings as well. So, you know, most weeks, once a week, he'd drop us back at 5, and at 7, he'd be back on the road again. That would be only for the Jamaat meetings. And generally, if you speak to the people at that particular point in time, at the committee members, they'll tell you those meetings never finished before 12 o'clock. And my father did that, you know, for him it was giving back to the community. It wasn't a case of saying, you know, it's an effort, but he went there, he gave his passion to it, and the traveling didn't bother him whatsoever. Probably later in life he became a bit tired, but he still did it, and he loved it. That, you know, the passion in terms of which the Jamaat was
yes.
He showed that throughout his tenure. He gave always 110% to it. Where advice was sought, he went out and sought it. Where he felt that he needed to be firm on certain matters, he was firm on certain matters. But always at the end of the day, he put the community at the forefront. I still remember when he passed away, a few ulama came home to sit with us. And they say, what do you remember most about your father? I said, my father was a community man. You know, we were his children, but the community was also his children. And whatever he did in those periods, he ensured that the community went from strength to strength. And whatever he could do, he did for the betterment of the community. And that stands out for me. You know, today we look at I'm not saying anything different, but, you know, we look at self-gain and we look at items as personal enrichment, all of those sort of things. But my father was a total opposite to that. He felt in giving to the community rather than taking from something
else. Definitely so.
And alhamdulillah, Allah rewarded him for that.
We speaking, respected listeners, and we profiling Maulana Muhammad Hashim of Bedford View, that most of us know him. Maulana was an avid reader. Really, whenever you would sit with Maulana on any subject, be it politics, be it what's happening around the world, be it Muslim history, whatever you would think about, you would see that Maulana was an avid reader, and he would be able to converse with people on a wide array of different topics. His Juma lectures were always planned, it was very meticulous, and it was always to the point, and Maulana would always speak about it. Obviously, later on, Maulana would then speak of his experiences. In the later years, when Maulana would lecture, one of the aspects, he would speak a lot with regards to South African Muslims who have migrated from here and settled in Dubai. I think you were at that time in Dubai as well, Yusuf.
Correct, Maulana.
So he would sit with us, ulama, and he would tell us, and he would advise the ulama of the area whenever we would have our meetings with regards to the importance of us making sure that we look at serving people from around the globe, because the thirst was so much, and obviously the need of people that were there was so much, and he would always give his experiences when he was in Dubai. One of the people that spent much time with him over the years was Brother Ismail Hafiji from Benoni. Brother Ismail, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam, how are you, sir?
Alhamdulillah, very well, and how are you keeping?
Indeed, alhamdulillah. So pleasant to talk about Mawlana Hashim. Brings back sweet, sweet memories. He's been a profound man in our community, alhamdulillah. And
what
I know that
Yusuf
has really highlighted quite a lot of main facts about him already.
What are some of the sweet interactions that you had with him?
Yes, Masab, you know, I have been associated with Mullah Hashim almost after he arrived from India. My association goes back to 1969, so it's a long shot. I have had association with him almost 1 or 2 days before he passed away, so it's been a long, long, long relationship. But I think apart from that long relationship, the highlight of that was the 25 years that we worked together on the Jamaat, and I was almost there with him all the tours for 25 years as secretary, almost good friend, advisor, and as a confidant there. But I think his greatest asset that I would think of that 25 years was his ability to work with laymen like myself and other professionals. He did with utmost respect. He would listen, take advice, and take counsel, and move forward with some of the ideas we would provide for him. He was an excellent leader in that respect, yeah. No, but in terms of BNJ, I think he brought in stability, a lot of foresight, and plenty of wisdom. And he would easily think of people within the Jamaat committee members to ask for people to read istikhara if you want to make an important decision and so forth. Yeah, he thought nothing of doing that. Alhamdulillah.
Tell me, in terms of your interaction with him as a leader, what are some of the BMJ started off obviously very small at that time and it grew. What are some of the visions of Maulana Hashim that he had that today we see fruition in terms of the committee?
What's up for me over the years, the two things that stood out very, very prominently when I think back, and especially after his passing, the two issues that stood out very prominently about him was his passion for education. And I'm talking education in a very, very broad sense of the word. His love for Maktab and Dini teaching there, the Dini Talim, and he supported the Jamiat through his Talimi board. He was also very, very concerned that the BMJ Madrasa itself, the Talimi board, the Talim there ran well, stars were well paid, to make sure that teaching was taking place on time and so forth. So education was very close to him. It also manifested itself in other different ways, which are unusual when I think about it now. I mean, he was often required to address the secular schools in our area, the assemblies of those monitor principals looked after him, to look for him every now and again to talk to pupils, and then his pupils across the spectrum. And he did that willingly and passionately. That means coming out 7 o'clock in the morning at a school or 6:30 in the morning, and he would do that address. So it manifested itself in a different way there. But also another way that it actually portrayed itself was pre-94. Very few people really, really foresaw the difficulty with secular education would run into. And there he became an ardent supporter of the Muslim school concept, and he was one of the forerunners in supporting even what is today the Benoni Muslim school. So really, from an education point of view, I think he stands out prominently. He was really, really very clear about his stand in that respect. Yeah. The other aspect that he stood out very clearly was just the unity in the town in general, in the local community that he managed. He wanted to make sure that the community was united, and he keenly addressed these things. The people who were dissenting, who had dissenting views in the community, he would often call them up with a complete executive meeting. So let's listen to the man, see what he's saying, whether it was just complained about a Juma talk, Juma program, night talks, whatever the case is. But he would make sure that he would listen to these dissenting views very, very keenly. With differing groups in the community, he had to make sure that he could actually get a better understanding of these people, you know. And of course, there was a new feature that was beginning to arise in the community, where you find that after a while, the new communities were being set up in the town. Benoni was spreading out into those suburbs and so forth. And he would routinely call up those satellite jamaats to make sure that they are supported and they understood each other and they needed any requirements and so forth. Yeah. So from a unity point of view, I think he was very keen. I mean, my memory goes back even 2 days before he passed away. When I saw him in his room, I was alone with him. He asked me about what was the unity in town like. He was concerned about that kind of issue. That was very important for him. Alhamdulillah. Very unusual and very outstanding qualities he had.
And Krishman, if I can ask you a personal incident that just stood out for you with Maulana?
You know, for me, I think that his prolific public speaking style, like you rightly said earlier, his use of language, I think it was just unusual purely because he was a passionate reader all the time. And I think he was at a personal level. He would come in, he would walk in through to my house and he'd see something unusual. And he had a keen eye for picking up the unusual things. It was just, I mean, he was the alim of worth his weight in gold. And yet he would pick up little things in the house. My mother brought along when she came to South Africa the first time, a very old, what you would not call a suitcase, but a portman in those days. And he spotted this somewhere. And he asked me, where did this portman come from? So he had this very keen eye and a keen interest in all little things as well. And yet he was a man of great stature and great learning. And alhamdulillah, I had a profound relationship with him in that respect. You know, during his tenure as BMJ chairman there, he had other unusual things that he had also done. I mean, he once led the campaign in town against drug trafficking and gangsterism. He led a whole campaign about that. There was a time when he had a whole group of Somali academics, high professional people, who had come out to visit South Africa and for days on end. And then he hosted Kari Naina throughout Gauteng. And Kari Naina got so close to this man that he wouldn't let go. He wanted him to be with him all the time. And I saw him interact with some of his ustads and teachers from Lucknow, from Nadawa. And there I remember I had close associations with him and with those ustads. And there I saw how dearly he loved those people. And I think that's why I think he was so close to Lucknow and Nadawa. So I saw some unusual signs of him in different ways over those 25, 30 years. Alhamdulillah.
Uncle Ismail, JazakAllah so much for your input this evening.
Alhamdulillah. Allah grant for Musaf a very high stage, inshallah. We may grow up. JazakAllah, Musaf.
Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullah.
Giving us his insight with regards to Maulana Muhammad Hashim. Brother Yusuf, you know, in the ulama profile, when we discuss it every week, generally we speak about the alim, but some of his personal life, because many people are not aware of the ulama within the confines of their home and how are they at home. How was Maulana Muhammad as a father or as someone in the home? What was his demeanor with the family?
Maulana was gentle. He ensured that we did our work and we strive for the best. You know, he's always say, there's one thing that you cannot take away from. You can do everything in this world, but one thing you need to have is education. So that is one thing nobody can take away from you. So, you know, he pushed education for us. He ensured that we succeeded in whatever we did. He maintained close family relations, you know, whether it be, I remember, you know, whatever weddings or funerals there were in the family, my father played an active role in it, you know, leading from the front, ensuring that things get done. So he maintained the family relations. He tried to keep the bond between family members very strong. And the love in the house, alhamdulillah, ensured that was there as well. So you see two different personalities. You see a personality that stands up on the minimum. And you see a personality at home. But whatever you saw out there on the minimum is the same we saw at home as well. So, you know, whatever he did to the best. And he ensured that we also gave our best for it as well. He ensured that we maintained our dini way. And Maulana was kind and he was gentle. So right up until the end, he always worried about family members. You know, he said, ensure that you look after and you maintain those bonds of family relationship. Inshallah, Allah guide us all that we can fulfill his wishes. But that was Maulana. He was always there to help somebody. In whatever circumstance it was, you know, people used to come to, we lived close to the airport. And between him and my grandfather, we found that people that came were going on their way for a hike from either Cape Town or Durban or whatever the case may be. They'd make the trip to the airport, fetch the Hujjajis on their way to perform Hajj or Umrah, bring them home, give them a meal. If you're stranded in the locality, they help you out. So alhamdulillah, you know, his general ways was good. And he imparted that, inshallah, onto us, and we can take it and we can live up to his name and inshallah keep his name high as well.
No, definitely. I want to just, maybe for the benefit of the listeners, share some of the experiences I had with Maulana Muhammad. One day we were sitting at the Ijtima in Binoni, and Maulana was asked to address, I'm not sure whether it was just some of the ulama of the area or whether it was the general bayan. So you are saying in today's time, sometimes after in the tahiyyat, when a person sits, And then at that time, they don't always read the durood. They try and hasten with their salah. So Maulana was extremely upset, and he said, respected listeners, if we are not going to read the durood in salah, then whenever are we going to read the durood? And with that, Maulana was very, very upset with regards to this, and he addressed it, and you could hear from the tone Maulana was livid with regards to it. Also, another aspect, and on that perhaps we come somewhat to the end, Maulana was very ill in the last few years of his life. When Maulana was diagnosed with cancer, then there was Brother Soli Hesham that is here, a close friend of Maulana as well. Maulana was here at his house, and Maulana stayed some time because obviously of treatment and transport, etc. So one day myself, my father, I think Abu Samadaya, Mufti Ali Lorgat, and a few other of the ulama were there. So when we came and he sat there and we were talking, and obviously Maulana had a conversation. I think he even called one or two of them alone and he asked us to just wait outside. But I remember very clearly, and I was sitting there, and he told my father, Mufti Saab, when you give ghusl, dara narmi se ghusl denai. Give ghusl very gently to me. My father said, no, I'm telling you, Mufti Saab, I'm being serious. When you give ghusl, make sure you give ghusl very, very gently to me, because my body is not as strong as it was. And obviously, Maulana was at that time still very, very awake. He was very aware of the surroundings, etc. And we jumped in the car and we were driving back from Lodium. We were going back, and it was something that everyone knew well. Maulana is now giving an indication. And not long after that, I was at my parents' house, and we got a phone call. Maulana had just passed away. And instinctively, I think everyone just realized that Maulana was so aware that his time was close and his preparation was there. My father was there, and obviously people knew that my father was given the wasiyah to some point to make sure that the ghusl was done right, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us part of it. But it just shows Maulana's awareness and Maulana's understanding of reality. And at that point also you could realize and understand that Maulana was now preparing to leave this world and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brother Yusuf, I think I just want to read one message. Assalamu alaikum, Maulana Muhammad Hashim. I remember I was working in Isando and would make Jummah in Elandsfontein. I remember his tafsir of Surah Yusuf. It took about a year. In the last lecture, he read the khutbah himself. What an emotional khutbah, a very humble and jovial person that comes from Brother Ahmed. Brother Yusuf, probably you want to take us through the last few days of the life of your father and some of the things you remember, and then we could wrap up the program from there.
May I just go back to one point you raised earlier? You know, when Ramadan used to start and the Ufas used to come to Elandsfontein, because we read all our Tarawis in Elandsfontein.
Okay.
And my father used to always tell him on the first day, whatever you do, do not rush. Read your salah properly, make sure that your sujood is properly, your ruku is properly. There are old people in this congregation. Do not just go up and down for the sake of reading the senior rakats. He always gave that nasiha to people when Ramadan started, and he was very strict on that. So and alhamdulillah, there were a lot of Ufaz youngsters that today, they are prominent Ufaz in our communities as well. They started off in Elandsfontein and they came through the ranks, and my father used to always tell them that right at the beginning, read your salah properly, we are not rushing, we will get done whether it's 5 minutes later or whatever the case, but make sure you read it properly. And he was very particular about it, very particular in terms of how you performed your salah. And you go back to your question in terms of the last 10 days, these last few days, that's the one regret I have, Maulana, because unfortunately, in the last couple of months, my father spent with me at home, but during the last week, I was not here. I was traveling on business. Allah knows best where he wanted me at that particular point in time. But right up until the end, and as you said, you know, he prepared himself. He really prepared himself. He made a conscientious decision. He said he's not doing chemo, whatever Allah works for him. He's prepared and he's ready for it. And alhamdulillah, he went away peacefully. And all the family members were all around him. people have come during that week to come and see him as well. As Ismaba had mentioned, he came and sat with him, and you and your father were also part of that as well. So alhamdulillah, he went away very nicely, and that's all as a family we could ask for. He had prepared himself over the period of time, as he knew he was going, and he wasn't going to be with us for a long period of time once he returned from Pretoria.
No, definitely. I just want to say, sometimes Allah Ta'ala knows best, but it's the will of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He knows that, look at times, people that spend a lot of time with others, at the time of their death, they're not there. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala knows why and what's the reason for that. That is only in the wisdom of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. I know Murana Qasim Ali, all of them are buried in a very close place at the Rainsford Qabristan. And Murana's was one ghusl that will always stand out for me, because obviously now we witness what happened with Morana in Pretoria, and thereafter we seen and we were part of the ghusl, etc. So something that is always a stand out for you. Yusuf, in terms of closure, what are some of the things you would like to share of the listeners that perhaps we never yet touched, and on that then we could close the program, inshallah?
Yeah, as you said, I left overseas for a period of time, and my father used to visit me regularly, and probably two months with me at a time, and the way he could make friendships was unbelievable. He could strike up a conversation with anybody on any particular subject, and in terms of drawing an audience, in terms of that, my father was out. To use the word a master is actually not correct, but you know, he knew how to talk to people, he knew how to address with people, he knew on which level to discuss certain issues with people, and if it was just a bit of that rubs off on either me or my children or whoever the case, we'd be extremely, would be kind to us in that way. But just his general demeanor, irrespective of who the person was, from what their background was, he treated them with the respect and dignity that anyone should be afforded, irrespective of what their status is. And that, for me, says volumes about my father. You know, it wasn't about looking after those that are higher echelons than other people. He spoke to everybody. And he could communicate on any level whatsoever. And at the end of the day, you know, like I said, he tried to maintain the family relations as strong as possible, tried to keep the bonds of family as strong as possible. And alhamdulillah, I think he succeeded to a great extent. And not I think, I know he succeeded in that. And Allah reward him for all the effort that he's done in terms of the community. You know, among his sisters and my cousins, and that he was a beacon of light for us all. So we terribly miss among all of us. You know, I meet people generally on a day-to-day basis, and then they write stories to me about my father, and all we can say at the end of the day, make dua for him, and Allah grant him the highest stages in Jannah.
I mean, most definitely. Yusuf, jazakallah so much for your time. As always, a wonderful personality Morana was, and it's something hopefully we as students, those that came out of the organization, BMJ, would be able to fulfill such a great legacy. May Allah give him the highest stage in Jannatul Firdaus, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we are able to fulfill some of the wishes and the vision that he had, inshallah.
No, jazakallah Morana, on behalf of my family, my sisters, my aunties, JazakAllah for taking his time and reviving it, and reviving the memories in us of him, and Allah reward you for that as well.
Ameen, inshallah. JazakAllah so much.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullah. That was Brother Yusuf, the son of Morana Muhammad Hassam. Morana passed away some time back, and we were just discussing the legacy that Morana had, and obviously the fact that Morana was an avid reader. Really, to understand how much Morana read was just unbelievable. A bookworm probably would not give justice to how much Morana would actually read. And that was Morana's vision and Morana's farsightedness. To close today's program, we're going to ask Brother Usama to play the last clip, and thereafter, inshallah, the program will close, and thereafter, inshallah, we'll take the news from myself, Ubaidullah Boja. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So now, the Baji is wise, we're all very wise. When it comes to deen, we know the masala just like that. There's no two ways about it. We can pick up that Quran and we find a masala in there. We don't have to be Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Hanbal, Imam Awza'i, Imam Zufar, Imam Muhammad ibn Shaybani. We don't have to be that. We just make the masala ourselves. So Baji sitting there at the back, he says, Imam Sahib, you only read 3 rakat. He says, what proof you got? One Baji asked him there. He says, look, I got 4 shops. I finished taking stock of 3 shops. The last shop I still didn't take stock of. So I'm sure it was 3 rakats. Yes, we can enjoy that little bit of anecdote, eh? You understand me? That is our hal. That is the hakikat. That is the reality. That is the reality. You agree with me? Nobody is going to say yes. Big trouble. Nobody is going to say yes. Allah Ta'ala guide us in that, eh? So I said, and I want to end off. Let us make tawbah. Let's say, Allah, I've lived a life that was totally in disregard to your Shariat, to your feeling, to your mercies, to everything that you have given me. I am the least thankful and grateful servant of yours. The least. وَتُعِزُّ مَن تَشَاءُ Allah Ta'ala says, I will give izzah to those I want to give. وَتُزِلُّ مَن تَشَاءُ And those that I want to trample upon. But what makes Allah Ta'ala take that decision? Our act. It is not because they are stronger and they have more weapons. It is because we are weak. We look for the shortest route to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't work that way.